Collectively is a podcast series focused on exploring personal responses to the town of Eastbourne's art collection. This series approaches the nearly 100-year-old collection through a queer lens, feeling, tuning into, and selecting works that evoke memories, emotions, and experiences of queerness. My name is Renee Bourne Sutherland, and I'm an artist working with film and video, with a particular focus on bodies being carriers of narratives within landscapes, and the body itself being a site for transformation. Tanner invited me to connect with people from the LGBTQIA+ community living in East Sussex. After a number of sessions in the art store discussing artworks I had selected, each contributor was invited to choose works they would like to ponder and explore further. You can hear more from me, learn about the Towner and its collection in more detail, and how we sifted through 5,000-plus artworks in the first installment in this series. But in this episode, I discuss with Vicky Counterpoint, 1976, by Wilfred Avery, and Swimmer, 2016, by Tom Hammack.
I'm Vicky. I'm 52. I live in Eastbourne. I have a zest for life. And I'm a language teacher. I teach English. I love people. I love being with people. I love hearing people's stories. And I love the connection between people, connecting people as well, and just realising we are all the same and we all want the same thing. I think we tend to show our differences. And I think that's really sad, actually. I think that we have more in common than we have differences.
So you've chosen a piece in the collection by Wilfred Avery titled Counterpoint, and it was painted in 1976. I'm wondering if you can describe the picture to us so that those listening can visualise it.
It's a mixture of, a landscape and a body in the landscape, and the body's part of the landscape. It forms the, let's say, the coastline to me and the cliffs. There seems to be hills and sea, and then the body is between them. It's like a link, something like that. It's quite muted colours, blues, greens, a lot of curves in the pictures, quite curvaceous, yeah.
Do you feel like the more you look at the painting, the more it starts to unravel or the more you see? Because at first glance, you might not necessarily see a body in the landscape.
When I first looked at it, I saw maybe just a series of elliptical kind of forms. Yeah, like forms. And then the closer I look, definitely on the left side, there is the legs of a body and the buttocks. And then it's quite, we can't really see the torso, but I think it's in there. And there's not a defined head. So it's the beginning of a body.
Or the end of a body.
Or the end of a body.
Yeah. Have you learned anything about Wilfred Avery or the painting since you first spotted it? Because we kind of did the tour through the gallery and you kind of were drawn to that image quite strongly.
I was, actually. I looked him up because I was quite intrigued as to why I loved it so much. I felt very calm when I looked at it. It was quite a pleasure, and it is a pleasure to look at it and stand in front of it. It feels quite soothing and calming. So I looked him up because I didn't know anything about him, and discovered he was gay, which actually it resonated with it. It kind of backed up what I was thinking. It was quite homoerotic, the picture, I think. I found out that he made a film. He was part of the gay civil rights movement, or
the homosexual equality group.
Yeah, and that was in London, I think. He was quite political in that respect, I think. He made a film called David is a Homosexual, but it wasn't shown to the public. I think it was kept somewhere and then it got handed down after his death, but it is available to the public now, I think the British Film Institute. So that was quite intriguing. I haven't seen the film, but I'd really like to see the film. I know he was interested in the psyche and the mind, and that also really intrigued me and interested me. Yeah, he had a partner. But I think homosexuality was not legalised when he was young. So that also made me realise maybe he was painting out of a need to express himself. Mm. I kind of got that.
Yeah, I kind of, and again, a bit like you, I went away and researched once you selected that picture. And I read an interview with his partner, a chap called Ray. I can't remember his surname. But he was saying that actually within both their respective families, it was totally accepted. And they felt really comfortable and relaxed within that, even when it was illegal. And that's kind of interesting in terms of thinking about the work he was making as well, because it is very abstract, but it, like I said, it lures you in. That painting lures you in a way. There's something familiar, accepting, but also unknown, unsure, uncertain.
Yeah, I read that too, and that really warmed my heart. And I, actually, in that picture, Counterpoint, I don't get the feeling that there's anger or frustration. It's quite hard to find the words, but it's quite soothing. Mm. It's almost like it's okay, you know, luckily for him. And that was wonderful to hear that. What would have been his father-in-law was very accepting, and there's photos of him, you know, hugging each other. And that was wonderful to see that in those days.
We hear so little of that in terms of our queer elders.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, it's just made me really emotional thinking about that, that whole notion that most of it was shrouded in shame and had to be hidden. Mm. And actually to be very open in a family when we're thinking, you know, in the, well, 60s, pre-60s, so, you know, around the mid-60s, where it's things started to slowly change. Yeah, wonderful. So why did you choose this picture? Because we looked at probably about 100 different images over the couple of weeks that we kind of were going through the collection and then looking in the gallery.
There was depth to it. There was a story behind it. I think some of the pictures, they didn't tell me a story, or they were a bit too obvious, maybe. I quite like things where I have to delve into my own psyche or my own emotional background, let's say. And something resonated with me. Probably are the colours. I do like those darker colours, purples, blues, greens. Nature, but sort of nature in a muted light, let's say, night. That was something that I discovered. I didn't really realise that about myself. So I always think I love nature, like green, spring and bright. But actually, I think I'm quite... Yeah, yin. I can only say that word yin because it's like deep and it's the darker, the shadow side of our personality.
When I look at the image, definitely moonlight comes to the fore. And it, for me, it's simultaneously like tranquil, but also frantic, but not frantic in a aggressive, chaotic way. It's like the movement of a body through space and time. It's moving at a pace that's actually sometimes maybe faster than we realise. And there's kind of this kind of balance there. And it does draw you in and draws out an emotion. And you talked about it having an emotional resonance with you. Would you be able to define that emotional resonance?
I think probably the only thing I can think of is like a kind of solace in the landscape, that when everything is going wrong or is you can't work things out. I'm thinking maybe especially when I was coming out or when I was younger, let's say teenage, 16, 17, 18. I often just wanted to be on my own in nature, and often at night I felt the calmest in the moonlight or in nature, but at night. That's a bit weird. But I don't know. Maybe that isn't weird.
I don't think it's weird.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Because I guess, I mean, being alone in nature, like nature's totally accepting, right? It doesn't judge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so, it's harmonious, right? You feel great in nature.
Yeah, and it's non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And it accepts you. And maybe in this painting, he's accepted. He is part of that landscape, the cliff. But he's also part of the sea. But then he has he's animate. So he has that energy, which is muscular, which we all have. And that's that there is a kind of sexual energy there as well, which, you know, we all have within us. And sometimes it's fighting to get out. And it definitely was for me when I was coming out. It was like, what am I going to do with all this energy?
I'm going to go back to you, that point you said that you really liked being in nature at night. Because there's a stillness and a calmness, right? The chaos of daily life starts ebbing away as people are going to return to their homes. So interesting how that's actually connected very much to this image.
Yeah,
it?
It's nice to reveal that to myself. And also it's quite nice to feel that maybe someone else feels the same and has felt the same. you know, when I was growing up, I was searching for people who felt the same, because within my family, I didn't have that. Mm. And not everyone, but my mum, my sister, my dad, I felt like they didn't get me. Mm. And I don't think that's specifically to do with being gay. But if you see paintings that evoke the emotion that you have, you feel like, oh, it's okay. I don't feel so alone or alienated, let's say, because I did feel a bit alienated, I think, expressing emotion, just yeah. emotion.
Yeah. Well, I think there's especially, and I talked about this in relation to one of the Paul Graham pieces, the Kentucky Fried Chicken Counter. I picked that picture because for me it was about bodies. In that, all the family members are kind of little islands within themselves. And it made me think again about my childhood, and exactly what you're saying is that you're part on the outside of this unit, mm-hmm. this projected sense of belonging, protection, safety, but felt deeply isolated and deeply on the outside of that unit. Mm. And not necessarily, again, because of sexuality, just being different personality, yeah. seeing the world different, thinking yeah. differently, and realizing that from a very young age. And how do you square that up? And yes. so you start adapting and changing, which creates deeper isolation. And
yes. Yeah. And images that you see, or films that you see, or just even subconscious things that you see on TV, nothing really. You watch films, and I watched films, and I still watch films. I think, but why would I be interested in watching a very heterosexual portrayal of the world? Because that's not my world.
Yep.
You know, it still baffles me. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but 99% of TV doesn't really relate to my life in any way.
Mm. So the title Counterpoint. What does that mean?
I had to look it up. That's awful, isn't it? Because I'm an English teacher. So I think, as far as I could work out, it's the balance between two opposites. And so that creates a tension. It happens in music when you have a melody or two melodies which are happening at the same time, but they blend and there is a harmony. In his picture, I feel it might be that the balance or the tension between the mind and the body, or the emotion. I feel it's a tension within. Don't feel like there's anyone else involved. Maybe there is. Do you feel there's another?
No, I feel like it's the body person. And the landscape.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those two things, and the things that you talked about, we get the sense that there's these hills or landscape, but you also get a sense there's the sea. When we were looking at the painting, the bit that you thought the sea was very different to the bit that I thought the sea, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because we both feel it there.
Yeah. But it's in different places.
But maybe that's the point, that you feel these things and it speaks to you. I think, I mean, that's like, you know, a brilliant artist that can evoke those things out of you, but you can't actually place where it is in an image.
Right. And I like that. It's not obvious. You need to do a bit of work. And I like that. I think that's important. And that's where the true balance is.
Yeah. And we return to nature, you know, as well. You know, that something really beautiful in that.
Yeah.
So you also chose a second piece. It is titled Swimmer, and it was painted in 2016 by a chap called Tom Hammock. Can you describe that image to me?
It's quite a dark in colour piece. It's night, seems to be nighttime. It's in what looks like a wood or forest. I thought of pine trees. The trees are quite jagged and have sharp branches. And there's a figure behind the trees that we are looking at, or the painter is looking at. And to me, it's a man. He is clothed, but it's not obvious at first sight. He's kind of moonlit. He's quite bright, but you can't see his features. And he looks like he's waiting for something. He's definitely looking at you. And yeah, there's a story there. I'm not sure what the story is, but there is a narrative of expecting or wanting, waiting. Yeah, he has his feet. His feet are not obvious. I think his feet are in the water. Mm. It's very blue and very watery and ethereal. And it's beautiful, yeah.
It's very dreamy, isn't it?
Dreamy.
It does feel very dreamy. in the group when we were going through the sessions, we talked about this piece for like long time. We became quite fixated with it.
Get away from it. It's quite magnetic. Yeah. It is very magnetic.
Why did you choose it?
I chose it. At first, I was actually quite frightened by it because I think I was bringing quite recent memories of like thriller films and series and, oh, Man in the Woods. Oh, gosh, there's going to be a death or something. And then the more I looked at it, it softened. It really softened. The colours are quite warm purple and warm blue. They're not chilling. I felt this emotion. I felt this feeling from it, like I wanted to understand the figure in the painting wanted and what the viewer or the painter wanted from him. And then I started to feel that there was a charge, like when you want something but you can't have it, almost. And then it became quite sexually charged. I could feel that maybe the painter wanted something but he was not allowed it, or he was not allowing himself it. There's definitely, the trees are a barrier between the figure who is semi-clothed and the person looking at him.
Yeah. I mean, it's also us, the viewer, right? Those very jagged branches, as you said, and they are, they're quite aggressive looking, are really covering him.
Yeah, more than the other part.
The other parts of the painting.
Yes.
And he's kind of lurking, makes it sound creepy, but he's waiting for something, but also partly hidden. It's like partly revealed, partly hidden. And there is something really beautiful, again, about moonlight. So he is kind of almost back glowing. He's kind of got like a slight aura around him.
It's quite magical. The more I looked at it, the more positively I felt, except there is still that tension which isn't resolved. I don't know if you get the feeling that he stumbled across them, but then why would he be in the woods? I don't know. Or he's definitely looking, watching. And I feel that there is an attraction. There is something between the viewer and the figure.
Which is a lovely segue into the question that I really wanted to ask, because there is definitely a sexual charge to the image. And it's also uncertain, like you're saying, is this figure waiting for someone? Has something just happened? Are they looking at us, the viewer, or someone else in the woods? And I wonder, like, that's why it feels quite queer to me, because there's this uncertainty. And we talked about when we were looking at it, and as a group, it feels like when you come across, particularly men, cruising in nature, in landscape, and you kind of come upon them and you're like, you know, they're waiting, you know, and it has that sense to it.
Yes. Maybe we've interrupted something. Maybe there is a, maybe not a relationship between the viewer or the painter and the man, but it's, what's going on here? It's definitely curious. But I also feel there is a temptation. There is, because the figure, the way he's standing, it's like a complete, although he is covered and disguised by the branches, he's completely fronting us. He's not trying to hide. There is a kind of, do you want it? What do you want? That fits with the cruisingness of it.
But it's titled The Swimmer as well.
Yeah.
Because there is a sense that his feet or his legs may be in water.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think.
But then we have those trees right in front of him. It's kind of interesting as well, because the title doesn't indicate a gender. And the body, it has more of a shoulder, broad sense of a man.
Yeah.
But we have assigned agenda to this swimmer. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting how, I actually thought to myself, if it was a woman, or obviously made to look more female, and being a lesbian, how would I might feel quite differently about it. I think that's the difference between male cruising and females don't really cruise at night. They just don't. So I would feel, I put a woman in my head, I put a woman's face and features on it. And I actually didn't feel very comfortable. It actually felt like almost threatening. But I mean, that was just a kind of aside that I was relating to. that it works, you know, whether you're, you know, lesbian, gay, female, you can relate to the emotion that's there. And I think that's the most important. It doesn't matter that it was a man and not a woman. I just quite like to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's important to do that, especially when we think about art in context historically.
Yeah.
And obviously this piece was made in 2016. It's not an historical piece, but, you know, we're mainly male artists, mainly women as objects within imagery. Mm. Actually swapping it up and changing things, your mind's very healthy.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving some agency where none was given.
Yes.
So what I'm really fascinated with, especially with the two pieces that you chose, is that the colour palettes and the scenes are very similar in that the fact it feels like it's moonlit or at dusk or at nighttime. We've got these blues and purples and slight kind of muted browns, pastely browns. And there's a sense of almost like a time of quietness happening through the colour palettes you chose. Did you realise that when you chose
I didn't.
Pieces?
I didn't. It was completely subconscious how I just felt comfortable in them. And I felt like I was in the picture. And my feeling was, I understood it and I felt a kind of pleasure, definite pleasure looking at that, both of them. It sort of, it made me feel like I know how that feels, something like that. Like it felt comfortable to me, like, oh, yeah, I get that. I feel like that. If I could paint, that's what I would paint. Probably both. Yeah. I was going to say more the Avery, but, and maybe when I was younger, maybe the other one, because it's a little bit more, and maybe a feeling of, it's not frightening, but it is that feeling of, ooh, what's going on? Oh, I don't quite understand. Whereas the Avery is a little bit more, okay, I get it. I understand it. So as I've got older, maybe that's what I would have painted. And that's the other one is a younger emotion.
That totally makes sense, actually, from everything you've been discussing as well. Like that whole thing about uncertainty and coming out when you were younger and fitting in and being part of something. And actually, the Avery one, there is a sense of extreme acceptance and calmness, which you talked about earlier as well. So there's this kind of transition from not being certain or unsure about oneself to finding peace and balance.
And even frightened. When I was young, I was a little bit frightened by the world or by, I think, you know, lots of things, you know, not only being gay, but, just working it all out. What is this? Why do I feel vulnerable sometimes? But also that feeling of wanting. I did definitely get that feeling of wanting in the hammock one. And Avery, it was some kind of tension, but it wasn't unresolved. Felt like it was contained, satisfied in some respect, but still very potent.
I love that. So nice. It's great.
Oh, cool.
If you had to pick one between the two pieces, what would it be? I know that's a hard ask, but, you know, what would it be?
I think it would just have to totally depend on what I wanted to feel at the time, if I wanted to evoke my younger self, the hammock one. If I wanted something more soothing, the Avery. I honestly can't choose.
Really?
No.
Oh, amazing.
Because the swimmer one, there's so much unresolved energy, and which I still have it in me, and I still feel that's very much my part of my identity, that searching, that unresolved emotion, or not unresolved, but quizzical, curious, slightly on the edge.
When you say on the edge, I think that's actually really important, because actually both images, the swimmer's on the edge of something, and in Counterpoint, the Avery piece, we feel like there's an edge between the land and the sea, the body and the landscape.
Yeah, there is that on the edge feeling. And I think that is, it's something in your mind, it's something which is, I think you said it also, it's otherworldly. It's, is it real or isn't it real? It's, and then maybe that's the artistic mind. It's quite drawn to unreality or things which are otherworldly. And then the solidity of land and the unsolid element, which is water, which can't be held. It can't be trapped or contained and land that can be. I like both. Honestly, they both speak to me. It's just, it's impossible to choose.
If you had to describe the Wilfred Avery piece, Counterpoint, in three words or less, how would you describe it? And this could be emotional words, etc. It doesn't have to be visual descriptors.
Yeah. It's quite dynamic. It's energetic, but it's also calming, soothing.
And what about Swimmer by Hammack?
It's magical but eerie. As a kind of temptation, there's also prohibited feelings or emotions. Something is not allowed. Mm. Is that three?
That's more than three. I think that's four.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Well, I've so loved talking about these two pieces, actually.
Thank you.
And also your thought process and how they have got such a dialogue with each other. You intuited that and then started piecing those things together.
Thanks. It's just been, it's such a pleasure and luxury to delve into art, paintings. It's so nice to be able to go really deeply into something and explore, just explore. And maybe not reach a conclusion. I think that's also good, because life doesn't really have conclusions. You know, it is fluid.
Thank you for listening. You can find out more about the Towner and the collection on their website, with selected artworks also available on Art UK's online database. You can find links in the episode notes. Collectively will be released fortnightly from November until early spring 2022. Subscribe to where you get your podcasts to stay up to date with new content drops and any additional bonus audio. And do sign up to Towner Eastbourne's newsletter via their website and on socials, follow at Towner Gallery. And spread the queer love. Do rate and review Collectively, as it really helps other people find it.